When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 592 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here, April 28th, 2024. Padres, they just got swept by the Phillies. That was not a fun weekend to watch. I'm sure there's a lot of Padres fans that are frustrated after what they just saw. The Padres had a lead for, like, I think one half inning this weekend, chasing all weekend long. And it's hard to win baseball games when you're doing that, right? Like, today felt like the game was over. Then Campy hits a three-run home run, pinch hit home run. It's close. Then the Phillies add on another run, and now it's a two-run game, and the Padres obviously aren't able to get a win there. And then, you know, the first couple games of this series with Musgrove and Cease not pitching too well, and today Michael King continuing to give up the long ball after his last outing where he gave up that grand slam to Brendan Rodgers. Just a disappointing weekend for sure. Seeing the Phillies pitchers work deep into games, Ranger Suarez work, eight innings of work. Taiwan Walker come off the IL and he worked deep into this game. So just overall, I mean, if I could sum up this series in one word, it's, I don't know about embarrassing because there was some good moments, but disappointing, no doubt about that. Like, that's definitely the word that comes to mind. So if you want to join the show and give your thoughts, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the comments obviously as well, but yeah, let's just go through the three games in this series and just continue to talk about the state of this franchise. It didn't seem that long ago when the Padres were playing competitive baseball against the Dodgers and winning that series and feeling good. I was listening to Sammy Leavitt on my way home from this game today on the radio, and he was saying that how the Padres, I believe they're 3-8 in their last 11 games. I believe that's the record in the last 11. And in this series, Padres starting pitching gave up 18 earned runs. It's hard to win a series when you're doing that. You're putting a whole lot of pressure on your offense, and then it's not like you're facing the worst pitchers in baseball. You're facing Ranger Suarez, who's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. You miss Zach Wheeler, which, thank goodness, but you still had to face Taiwan Walker. You still had to face Aaron Nola, and you have Darvish on the IL. You have Musgrove, who is not pitching well right now, and Dylan Cease, he had his worst outing of the year. That's not the best time to have that. I know it's April, but still not the best time to, you know, leave pitches over the middle of the plate, walk guys. You know, those Ranger Suarez didn't walk anyone in that second game of this series, and that obviously was big for the Phillies, not giving away those free passes. And the Padres, they made more mistakes than the Phillies did in this series. No doubt about that. They didn't capitalize on some of the opportunities that they had. Look, I'll say this. Manny coming back on Friday night, it was good to see him back at the hot corner. He was back there today as well. He DH'd in the second game. They're not going to be playing him every day at third base when he's just coming back to playing third base. That whole thing with Buster Olney on Sunday Night Baseball when the Padres were playing the Dodgers about Manny going down for a rehab assignment to the minors. Some fans were saying at the time, like, Buster was joking about Manny's kid when Manny has a kid. And congratulations to him. He's back off of paternity list, obviously. So that's great. Seems like everything went well there with him and Yaine. They're back home and healthy, so that's great. Congratulations to them. I didn't really get that from Buster Olney at that point in time. I was like, they're actually sending him to the... It didn't seem like Buster was joking at that point. I just didn't... Maybe I was just too focused on, like, serious Buster Olney and what he was saying. But anyway, he was joking, obviously. They weren't going to send him there. I thought that was a ridiculous thing to happen. So he comes back. I wasn't expecting him to come back from the paternity list and just go right and play third base. I mean, he probably still did something during that time. And it's Manny Machado. It's not like he needs a ton of work at third base. He made good plays on Friday night at third base. You know, he's just someone, I think I said this on one of my post-game reactions this series, like, he can just get out of bed and go play great third base. Go play better third base than most third basemen in baseball. That's how ridiculously talented he is. So that was great to see. But, you know, offensively in this series, it was underwhelming. A lot of the time, didn't feel like the Padres were in these games. They lose 9-3 in the first game. They lose 5-1 in the second game. And then they score 6 runs today. And you're like, well, that should be good enough to win baseball games, even when you're facing the Phillies with the offense that they have. But when Michael King struggles like that, and then the Padres, they cut into it, but then they give up runs right after that. Like, that's not a combination. That's not a recipe to go get a win for success, you know? So just disappointing, you know? 14-17 is now their record. Is it the end of the world? No, it's April 28th. There's still a long way to go. But you look at teams like the Dodgers, you look at the Phillies at 19-10. The Braves, obviously, we expect them to be there. These are the teams that the Padres are going to have to get past when it matters the most. And we saw in 2022 that they did it. You know, they were playing, not the Phillies, but they got past the Mets, over 100 wins. They got past the Dodgers, over 100 wins. And, you know, obviously the Padres, they weren't the best team in the regular season. They were just playing good baseball when it mattered the most. And that's what's going to happen. That's what is going to have to happen this season, assuming that, and we shouldn't assume it, but hopefully the Padres obviously make the postseason. And if they make the postseason, I assume they're going to be playing good baseball and the rotation's going to be healthy. The pitching's going to be fine. The offense will be more consistent. I really wonder what's going to happen with this lineup, because Profar finally led off today, which, as I said on my pregame thoughts, like, I thought maybe not Profar, but, and I'm fine with Profar doing it, but Bogaerts not leading off. Like, this should have changed a couple weeks ago. I don't know why it took so long. Schilt will probably say, well, he had faith in Xander. I have not seen Schilt's post-game comments yet about, because I assume he better have been asked about the lineup and why Xander was moved and why was now the right time. I mean, the Padres have already had to try to avoid getting swept this season, and Xander was still leading off, so... why now? I guess that's the question that I have, or that I would have for Schilt. Because it's been over a month. You know, the Padres season started on March 20th. It's been over a month. I think that's a good sample size. It's not everything, but it's not 2 weeks. It's not 15 at-bats. And, you know, Xander, while the talent is there, he should not be leading off. You know, when Jurickson and Profar, not entering today, but these are his stats after today's game. He's hitting 303 with an 872 OPS. That's the guy that should be at the top of the order. Or maybe Ha-Sung Kim. You know, someone that's doing better, someone that's more productive than Xander Bogaerts right now. And average is not everything, but 213. It's one thing if he would be Kyle Schwarber and he hits 40 home runs and does this, but he doesn't do that, you know? So obviously hoping Xander can turn things around. I know it's not a lack of effort. He cares about winning. He's been accountable to the media this year. That's all we can ask for as fans in terms of off the field, like being accountable, working hard, wanting to do good, right? That's all we can ask for. Effort, give that. Now, obviously, on the field, we're going to ask for him to play not up to his contract because, to be quite honest, I don't think that he can perform up to that contract that he got because I think we can all agree that it was an overpay. $280 million for Xander Bogaerts. I think he would say, man, that's, of course I was going to take that because that's just too much money for Xander Bogaerts, you know? But to perform up to a better level than what he's at, right? Even do what he did last year. And I think fans were still disappointed with what he did last year because it wasn't 300 like I believe his last year in Boston. He's nowhere near even what happened last year. And again, it's April. It hasn't been a full season. If Haas was on the show here again today, he would be like, Ben, relax. It has not been a full season. It's the month of April still, you know. He'll turn it around, look at the track record. But what I have to do is react in the moment. And in the moment, like Xander Bogaerts just obviously isn't doing a good enough job. And just this weekend in general, or this series in general, the Padres offense didn't do a good enough job. I mean, Xander, Tatis yesterday combined to go 0-for-8. Manny went 0-for-3. Kim went 0-for-3. Campy went 0-for-3. Merrill went 0-for-3. And I know Ranger Suarez, that you're facing Ranger Suarez is one of the best pitchers in the National League. But, I mean, we've got talent in this lineup too. You know, I'm not just going to tip my cap every time a great pitcher comes into town and delivers a good performance. At some point in time, we need these guys to step up. I can say, hey, Ranger Suarez took advantage of where the ump was calling strikes. He mixes pitches well, up, down, outside part of the plate, especially. He's not blowing you away with velocity, but he's commanding the strike zone. He's commanding his pitches better than someone like Joe Musgrove, right? So I can tip the cap there, but I'm not just going to say, well, don't blame the Padres offense. That's just a great pitching performance from Ranger Suarez. No, like this Padres offense, if they want to get to where they want to get to, they're going to have to beat good pitchers, right? And then I know I'm bouncing around. Saturday, the Phillies were the ones that jumped right off. I mean, they attacked. You know, Alec Boehm, 2-run home run, top of the first, right out of the gate, makes it 2-0. That was a pitch over the middle of the plate. Fifth inning comes, Bryce Harper, bases loaded, walk. Like, that can't happen. Again, making the mistakes. And I'm not going to get too much on Dylan Cease. Like, this is his one bad outing that he's had this season, really, right? He's been the Padres' best pitcher. He's their ace right now. So sometimes this happens. And, you know, the Padres' offense, it's not like they helped them out too much, right? But he would say, mistakes. Too many mistakes. I made more mistakes than Ranger Suarez did. Phillies win the game. But yeah, bases loaded walk can't happen. And Alec Boehm had a single, takes the other way. Padres, they're only running this game 5-1, obviously, was the final. Eddie Rosario with the home run. There was the talk about, hey, should you be staring at your home run when you're just avoiding getting shut out? You just got dominated. You're getting dominated by Ranger Suarez. Should you be taking a Polaroid picture in the dugout? And I definitely understand fans that are pissed off about that. But to be honest, it's hard for me to get super pissed off about it when I'm just more pissed off about the overall team performance, not a Polaroid in the dugout. It's not a good look, right? But bottom line, Polaroid or not, the offense needs to step up. You know, like I'm just not in the mood really to be talking about, oh, staring down a home run and taking a Polaroid picture in the dugout, Manny taking the picture for Eggy. You know, these guys are big leaguers. Eggy, who knows how many more home runs he's going to hit in the big leagues. I just want the focus to be more on, hey, this offense needs to be more consistent. The starting pitching, it's an area of concern right now. Let's hit on Joe Musgrove right now. I know I'm bouncing around, but this series, you know, Joe, again, continuing to struggle. And it's like Xander. I know the care factor is there. I'm not questioning that. But bottom line, he's not performing the way he needs to for this Padres team. And he gave up 4 home runs on Friday night. 4. Bryce Harper hit one. Castellanos, I believe, hit one. Schwarber, first inning, right out of the gate. JT Realmuto hit one. The Phillies didn't even have that many runners in scoring position. They went 3 for 5. It's not like they had 12 opportunities to get a hit with runners in scoring position. They just capitalized on the Joe Musgrove mistakes. And Musgrove, with his fastball velocity, and I know I've hit on this already, and I've hit on his Baseball Savant page and how it just, there's no red on it. And it looks a lot different than last year, right? And he was hurt at the end of, obviously he was sidelined at the end of last year. The velocity's down. And it's not the end of the world if the velocity's down, if he's commanding his pitches. You know, he's leaving breaking balls over the middle of the plate. And good offenses like the Philadelphia Phillies, when you got Bryce Harper in that lineup, you got Castellanos, you got Kyle Schwarber, they're going to take advantage of that. And we know, like you saw Joe Musgrove's reactions on the mound when he gives up another bomb. Like, he's pissed off. I saw him kicking a ball towards the Phillies dugout when he brought a new ball in. Like, he's pissed. And I don't have his quotes up right now, but he was pretty much saying, like, I'm tired of this happening. We need to find a way to fix this. And it seems like it's a command thing. Is it mechanical? I know fans are going to bring up injury. Is he hurt? And he's just pitching through it, because would you rather have Joe Musgrove on the mound, or would you rather have who? Randy Vasquez come back up? Who would you rather have on the mound? You know, I trust Joe, the competitor, for him to find a way. I mean, he's shown it already this year in some outings where that's an ugly 6-inning, 3 earned run allowed outing, but he still was able to get through that, right? Well, this outing, obviously, against the Phillies, he was not able to do that. He was not able to, you know, gut through 6 innings. He didn't even get through 4 innings. 7 earned runs, 8 hits, a couple walks, again, 4 home runs, as many home runs allowed as strikeouts in this game. So, yeah, yikes. But what needs to change? To me, it just really comes down to command. That's literally what I'm seeing with Joe. He's not, you look at his Baseball Savant page, and I'll pull that up right now, in fact. So give me a moment here. Okay, here we go. So there's no red. No red. And red is great. You want red. There's pitching run value, fastball run value, breaking ball run value, off-speed run value. There's XERA, X batting average, stuff like that. But then there's the fastball velo, 25th percentile. He's not getting a ton of strikeouts. The K rate is 19th percentile. That's blue. Now, it's not dark blue, but it's still blue. And when you're not, again, it's one thing to not be blowing guys away with the velocity, but you saw Ranger Suarez the other night. He was still able to get strikeouts. And why? Why are you able to get strikeouts when you don't have that high velocity? It's because you're being deceptive. You know, you're hitting your spots. You're able to use certain pitches. I saw something, I forget, maybe it was Kevin Acey in his Padres Daily newsletter about how, like, Joe, he is really not using his slider. He just can't, he's not comfortable with it. And there was something about the grip, how he changed his grip on, I don't know if it's all of his breaking pitches or one of his breaking pitches, and that's caused him trouble as well. So maybe he has to go back to the way that he was gripping his breaking pitches. He's just not putting his pitches where he wants to put them. That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm sure the fastball velocity is going to be a topic of conversation. I think that some fans are going to bring that up and, oh, is he hurt? But I don't know what's going through his head. Maybe when he's struggling like this, maybe he's not trying to blow it by guys. He's trying to pitch, and then you see the velocity go down. Maybe because he's seeing all the injuries around baseball, maybe you're seeing him not go all out with the fastball or all out with certain pitches, and so you see the velocity down. That's, I mean, he's not someone that's going to make excuses. And he was asked, I believe, by the media after Friday's start about, is it an injury? Shoulder, is that affecting him from last year? Is there anything else that's affecting him? And let me find this quote. But he was not going to use that as an excuse. That's pretty much what it was. But let me find this quote here from Friday. Here it is. I go through aches, pains constantly throughout the year, but nothing right now that feels like it's detrimental or going to keep me from going out there. I feel good enough to go. And some fans saw that and they're like, good enough to go? Then maybe you should go on the IL. Like, you shouldn't be in April good enough to go. Okay, so we're going to put you out there. But if you're Mike Schilt, and we saw this is an injury related, but right, respects his veterans, believes in his vet, in Xander Bogaerts, keeps him in the leadoff spot longer than he should have been, in my opinion. And I think a lot of fans' opinions with Musgrove, if he feels good enough to go, then Schilt's probably going to trust him, partly because it's Joe Musgrove. And also, who would you rather have, Joe out there, or would you rather have someone else out there? And Schilt's answer is probably Joe Musgrove. And I'm going to trust that he's going to find a way to get out of this. I'm talking through like Mike Schilt's eyes. And so that's why Joe continues to go out there. Now, if there is an injury, then yeah, Joe should go on the IO because it's a long season and things are not going great for him right now. So is it going to get better if he's just going to try to fight through an injury? I'm not so sure about that. So as unideal as it would be to have Darvish and Musgrove on the IL at the same time, should we be looking at this from the long view, or, hey, let's keep running Joe Musgrove out there when he's not pitching that great? And I'm saying this again, if there's an injury, let's keep running him out there when he's not as productive as we're expecting Joe Musgrove to be, right? And we need him long-term. So if it takes a couple weeks, miss a couple starts, but he's going to be back and he can be good, the Padres have to weigh that, right? You know, Adrian Morejone, he's pitching well. So would they open it up to multiple inning role? And maybe it's not for Joe, but someone else. Maybe they go Brito Morejone instead of, because Randy Vasquez got sent down over the weekend after his last outing. So just some things that I'm throwing around in my head right now as I'm talking to y'all. But yeah, Joe, it's looking at this Savant page, it's unrecognizable. This is not Joe Musgrove. If there was no Joe Musgrove here and I just saw a screenshot of the Baseball Savant, there's no way in heck I would think that this is Joe Musgrove's Baseball Savant page, but here we are. Again, the care factor is there, though, so maybe that's why we should be more worried, because we know the care factor is there and it's not working. I don't know. I'm not giving up on him. Like, if there's anyone that is going to try his hardest to turn it around, it's Joe. the velocity thing, obviously, it's not ideal. How is he going to get that command back? Really? Like, that's the question, you know? And then I already hit on Dylan Cease. I'm not going to get really too much into Dylan Cease. I mean, some missed spots, like I kind of already touched on it, right? Walks, made more mistakes than Ranger Suarez. Toss it out, whatever. Now, if we go late into the season and he's facing good lineups and he's struggling, then maybe we're like, oh, he was padding his numbers against not the best opponents. But if you look at the Padres' schedule so far this year, and you look at the teams that Dylan Cease has faced, as I pull up Dylan Cease's game log right now, if my laptop's going to cooperate, he's actually faced some good opponents this year. It's not like he's facing the Miami Marlins every time out. Here we go. So the Giants, the first couple times around, then the Cubs, who they want to go win the NL Central. The Brewers are one of the better teams in the National League right now. Six innings, one earned run against them. Sure, the Rockies, but it was at Coors, seven innings, one run, and then the Phillies. So the best opponent that he has faced was the Phillies, and he struggled in this outing. But when you see one, two, three, four, five other outings before that that were two earned runs or less allowed, you know, I'm not going to sit here and overreact to that one outing. There's definitely more of a reason to be concerned about Joe than Dylan Cease. There's more of a reason to be concerned about Michael King, who started today, than there is Dylan Cease. I was at the game, so I did not see the pitch locations of the home runs until I went back and looked at it. Bryson Stott gets them twice. It was just middle in, you know, just meatball. JT Romuto homered in this game. It was cool to see the Padres, you know, bounce back, punch back, right? They were down 2-1, or down 2-0, actually. Down 2-0 after the Stott home run. And then they're able to come back. Bottom three, Tatis with the double, 2-1 game. Crony with the home run, and just like that, boom. Padres have a 3-2 lead. But then it was the Phillies coming back with more. Like, that's part of the story of this game today was, okay, the Padres punched, or the Phillies punched, excuse me, Padres punched back, but then the Phillies delivered, like, knockout blows. Or, you know, they dropped the Padres to the canvas, if that makes sense, after the Padres did some damage. Stott with the home run made it 4-3. Romuto homer 6-3. Romuto RBI single 7-3. Campy with the home run. Great job by Mike Schilt. It seemed like a no-dud decision to have Campy be the pinch hitter there for Higgy. He has the homer 7-6 game there. And that's where that was like the first time this weekend that Pecco, well, I mean, the Padres, they had the lead earlier in the game, but it did feel like, okay, there's definitely energy in the building when Campy hit that home run. But then, again, like I said earlier today in this show, Phillies punch back, and they make it 8-6 instead of 7-6. And the Padres, obviously, they can't get anything after that. Padres, they had some situations where they could have cashed in. They end up going 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position today. 4 left on base. What inning was that? I'm trying to find, I think it was the 8th inning where Tatis was up. I think it was Tatis. And who else was up in that inning? Where they, I believe they had a runner in, they had a runner in score. No. So the let's start with the bottom of the 6th. Tatis has the flyout, a great catch by Johan Rojas against the wall. Cronenworth grounds out, quick two outs, Manny singles, but then Bogarts with the strikeout. Like, it made for a pretty quick inning there where you wonder if Rojas doesn't make that catch, what would have happened in that inning? Because Tatis is on second, maybe third in that situation. And then was it the 7th? 7th was when Campy homered. Yeah, this is where it was, the 7, not the 8. This is the situation I wanted to bring up. So Campy has the homer, 7-6 game. Vibes seem good. Profar with the double. And by the way, it was a single for most guys. Profar legs that out. So good job out of him for hustling there. You have one out with Tatis and Crony coming up. I'll take that. Tatis flies out, Cronenworth flies out. And that right there was like, man, they had a great opportunity there. Runner in scoring position after the 3-run home run by Campy to go tie this game up, maybe even take a lead if there's a big swing, and they couldn't capitalize there. So Phillies capitalizing on mistakes. Padres did it minimally, not obviously good enough. And yeah, that was the series. Padres starters struggled. Philly starters were pretty darn good. Yeah. Tatis, what a play that he made, by the way. I know some fans are probably like, Ben, I don't care about Tatis's play. They just got swept. But what a play that was. Late in this game, I think it was it Trey Turner that he threw out? I mean, ball, he's sprinting in to try to dive, slide, catch it. He knows he can't do it, so he pulls up a little bit. And the ball, when it drops, it's spinning away from him towards the right field line stands, is the best way to describe it. Turns. He doesn't get time to set his feet. Turns, throws, one hop, boom, and gets Trey Turner. And that's not Kyle Schwarber running. That's Trey Turner running. And so that's the most impressive play. Maybe that's the most impressive play of his career. Definitely the most impressive play that he's made this season. There's been some great catches, like running in the gap earlier this year. I think that was last Sunday, right? The sliding catch, running in the gap when he was back at shortstop years ago on George Springer, where he wasn't even in the camera angle. He wasn't in the camera shot, and he made the catch. I think that was during Padres sweep that Astros series. I forget. But that was a great one. He's made the double jump when he was at shortstop years ago, right? Don and Mudd were freaking out about that in the booth. I remember that. That's impressive. But to be sprinting in, realize you're not going to get it, so don't go all out. And the ball, it's not like the ball, it's an easy ball to field on that. It's spinning, at least from what I saw live, spinning towards the line, towards the stands, and he has to spin, not be able to set his feet. You've got Trey freaking Turner running and throw a, I mean, he couldn't have thrown a better ball to was it Bogarts at short or at second tagging him? I forget who was at second tagging him, but could not have thrown it better there to second base to nab Trey Turner. What a play. That was a play where, you know, there's some plays where I'm like, oh, wow, what a catch. And I clap when I'm at Petco. But that one, I mean, I saw him turn and throw. And on the hop, I was like, yep, he's out. Stood up, big fist pump. Like, those types of plays, I don't know. I don't know if all fans feel this way. But when someone makes a play like that, I get more excited for that than I do for a home run. Now, if it's a walk-off, okay. Or a big, you know, game-tying or go-ahead home run, okay. But plays like that, maybe it's because when I was playing, I was a big defensive guy. I wasn't much of an offensive guy. Just ask people that played with me. I was a huge defensive guy, and I took a lot of pride in that. I loved playing center field, loved playing short. And so I loved making those types of plays. And I've just always, you know, Khalil Green growing up, making those his plays that he made. I just love seeing that effort on the defensive side. But yeah, I get excited for those more than I do for, I think, for, you know, homers or big, big hits. All right, quick break. I know I was bouncing all around in this series. If you have any players you want me to bring up, any topics you want me to bring up, feel free to put them in the chat. If you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well.
All right, quick check of
social media to make sure that I'm not missing anything. Is this right? I just saw Darren Smith repost this. Michael King has given up the most home runs in MLB this season. Yikes. Well, when you give up, how many home runs he gave up today? Four? Three. You give up three home runs, Musgrove was four, I believe. When you give up three home runs in a game, gave up a grand slam last time out, yeah, it's not super surprising when you really think about it. Just trying to see if I saw anything here. I have not heard Mike Schilt's comments, so I will play that here. Courtesy of 97.3 The Fan, Mike Schilt post-game today.
In regards to Michael King, it seems like every time he goes out, he's got stuff. On a day like today, how much of it may be command in the zone? How much of it is just a scorching hot Phillies offense? How do you sort of evaluate that?
Probably a combination of all of it. I mean, stuff was good. Velocity was good today. Ball was coming out good. The changeup, throwing it to righties. So it all the pitches working. You know, the walks hurt him before the damage, you know, to Castellanos a couple times. And, you know, we got a couple guys are there really swinging the bat well. We didn't make them uncomfortable enough.
Since we didn't get you before the game, the lineup change, I assume, was kind of matchup based. And did you like what you got from Profar in that spot, given kind of the success he's had?
Yes and yes. It wasn't as much matchup based, but I like Pro up there. Wanted to give it a look, and it looked good today. And we'll see how we move forward and give Bogey an opportunity to maybe see it from a different spot and drive in some runs. And, you know, Pro did nice to continue to take good at bats. And when you're taking good at bats, and it doesn't really matter where you hit.
How did Darvish come out of yesterday, and is he filling that TBA?
Darvish came out feeling really good. We'll announce tomorrow, but he's on a really good trajectory.
Think he's going to catch tomorrow?
That's likely to happen with Waldy going.
Would you? I'm sure you're not going to tell us because you probably haven't talked to the players.
That's right.
You got a lefty going. Is Manny going to play third? Could Campy be your DH?
I've looked at a lot of different places. There's other guys. I mean, if Manny plays third, there may be another opportunity for somebody else to get off their feet and get some at-bats, you know, and spread that DH around a little bit. But, hey, I'm not sure if Manny's going to DH or play third tomorrow.
That's something you haven't done yet, and some managers don't. I don't know that we've asked you about it. A catcher.
Yeah, I've done it. I don't know if it'll take place tomorrow for the I did in rookie ball, you know, 100 years ago. It doesn't bother me. We, you know, we end up going to a double switch. We figure it out, right? But tomorrow may be different in the sense that, like I said, we've got some guys that have been on their feet quite a bit. And, you know, Campy obviously came off the bench. Like, he could do the same thing tomorrow. So, you know, we'll evaluate how Manny feels, and we'll take it from there.
So what I take from that is maybe Tatis has a DH day tomorrow. Maybe Merrill just came back, so maybe he DHs. And I have a Zokar in there. Mike Schilt said he liked what he was seeing from Michael King. The velocity was there. And I'm not questioning that. It was the location. Looking back at the video, that's what I saw there was location. That's him and Joe Musgrove's issue right now. Musgrove velocity as well a little bit, right? But command. And that's with pretty much all pitchers in baseball that are struggling. This isn't like some earth-shattering thing here. All right, let's get to the chat. Let's see here. Dylan says, Fernando doesn't look like the same guy as he was in 19 through 21. Starting to be convinced that maybe he was on roids before the league popped him. I mean, let's look at Nando's stats. I think he's been okay this year. I don't think he's been amazing, but he's still one of the Padres' best producers, right? Right now, so you'd like both. You'd like the average. You'd like the OPS to be better. 771 OPS right now. 244 average. 326 on base. But he's got six home runs. He's got 16 runs driven in. He's playing good defensively. As we saw today, he's still got the arm. Your point is taken. Like, I think that Nando has to be better offensively. Bogey, Manny, you like all the guys to be better offensively. Jake, what's he at right now? He's kind of come back down to earth a little bit, right? OPS under 800. Merrill still hitting around 300. He's at 295. OPS is 731, so obviously there's not a lot of slug there. But we know that for anyone that is watching these games and not just looking at the stats, you know that about Jackson Merrill. I think we'd like Ha-Seong Kim to be better, but he got off to a really slow start, didn't he? Slow start. So it's still, you know, it's April 28th. Maybe let's give it another month to see what his numbers look like, you know, May 28th before I say Fernando's not the same guy. I've seen signs that he's stronger this year than he was last year. Well, Danny, I think that's a little bit of an emotional reaction there. Michael King has to go. He's not going anywhere. 2 years of control. The Padres want to go where they want to go. Michael King's probably going to play a good part in that. All right. I see David. He's on here, wants to join the show. What's up, David?
Hey. I just want to talk about Michael King a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reason that he's giving up so many home runs, and I might be stretching a little bit, but I think he's trying to over-rely on his movement of his pitches and his arm slot, thinking that it's unhittable, because clearly they're crushing him. And it's like some pitches are good. Some at-bats, he strikes out like he's Garrett Cole. And sometimes he pitches like he's a 13-year-old and he gives up 18 home runs. It's just, it's inconsistent. And I want to see more from him because he's a good pitcher. He just has to be more consistent and not leave pitches over the middle all the time.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think it's not like he's trying to throw the ball over the middle of the plate and he just thinks that he's going to gas everyone up and his stuff's too nasty. I just think we got to remember, like, the transition to being a starter. I know he was starting with the Yankees at the end of last year, but this is his, you know, full season that he's trying to do here as a starter, and it's still April here. I think that he might also be trying to figure out, okay, how do I need to attack these hitters to be able to last however long the Padres want him to last into the sixth inning, through six innings, whatever. How do I need to attack these guys? If something isn't, like, if the command's not there, then is he reverting to, hey, I gotta, you know what, let's just throw it down the middle of the plate. I can't be walking these guys, and that's where he gets into trouble. But yeah, it's definitely the command. But I agree, he has, like, the stuff. You do see it for sure. I definitely agree with that, David. Like, it's a good point about him. Sometimes it looks like he's pitching like a Garrett Cole for sure.
I also want to talk about the move from Profar to leadoff.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed on your pregame thoughts, you were a little bit skeptical of him leading off. I think it's a great move because, A, you have a switch hitter as your first batter, so you're automatically going to get that matchup. And two, he has the highest OPS on the team. And, I mean, Kim is – I would love to see him in the leadoff spot, but, like, I don't really see it from him, like Profar. Like, Profar – gets on base more than anybody on this team.
Yeah. In those pregame thoughts, if it came across that I was, like, against it, I'm not against it. I liked what I saw today from Jurickson, and I'm totally for him leading off. My point, at least what I was trying to say, was I was thinking that it was going to be Kim before. I wasn't thinking about Profar as the leadoff guy because he's hitting so well. I was thinking to leave him, like, hitting fifth because hopefully there's guys on in front of him like that. But no, I'm mm-hmm. fine with him leading off. I was thinking more maybe they'd go Ha-Seong Kim before Profar. Maybe they'd go Merrill before Profar. But no, I mean, when you have an OPS of what, over 800, 872, he's hitting over 300, two-hit day today. I love the at-bats. He walked as well, scored a run. Like, yeah, you want your most productive guys to get the most at-bats. And right now he's the most productive Padres hitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's this lineup, I don't think Chill is going to keep this lineup for the rest of the year. I think there's going to be a few more changes to it as the year goes on because, you know, bats get hot and cold and stuff and injuries happen. And I just don't think this is going to be the final lineup. But also, no, I want to talk about this series. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, around baseball, lineups change all the time. So, yeah, especially when it's April, this isn't going to be the finished final product. I think that Merrill is going to be at the top of the order at some point this year. I don't know if it's going to be consistently, but I'd be surprised if they keep him, you know, sixth through ninth, you know, the rest of the year.
Yeah. I also wanted to give my feelings about this series. I was kind of course, I'm going to be upset and a little bit embarrassed that we got swept by the Phillies because now my friends are going to make fun of me. But I mean, when you give up, Musgrove gave up like seven, Cease, I think, gave up five, and King gave up six, and yeah, most of them are on home runs. When you give up a bunch of home runs, not only do they get, they score, but also your morale goes down because you're just watching balls fly over the fence.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it, as a fan, I don't even know what to imagine the players feel, especially when you're on the mound in those situations and you're giving up four bombs in a game. Especially when you're Joe Musgrove, like, you're not used to doing that. As a fan, when you're seeing that home run, whether it's a three-run home run or it's a solo home run, it's still a home run. And we get that feeling of, oh, crap. Well, this isn't going to be going great, is it? Especially when the Phillies get off to that early lead, when Schwarber hits an early home run, when the Phillies get out in front. Again, like I said earlier, the Padres had a lead, I think, in one half inning in this entire series. The Padres starters, they didn't give the offense much of an opportunity at all to win these games. So, sure, there's concern about the offense, but at the same time, the starting pitching, it's their job to keep the Padres' offense in the game. Regardless of if the Padres' offense is doing well or not, your job as a pitcher is to keep your team in the game. Whether that's, it's a 3-0 game, well, that's still reachable. I mean, we've seen it this year. Campy had a 3-run home run today, but it was a little bit out of reach today. And so Michael King, he didn't do his job good enough today. And I think Padres pitchers would tell you that they got to keep the Padres offense, again, regardless of if it's playing well, if they're not, they got to keep them in the game. And it just wasn't good enough this series.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies, they're just better than us. They just beat us. It happens. It's baseball. You're not going to win every single series. You're not going to do good all the time. You're not going to hit a bunch of homers and win every single game. It's just not how it works. I mean, the Phillies offense, credit to them, they're just amazingly built. I mean, Cease, we can argue that he's been our most consistent and best pitcher. And he even got kind of rocked around. That Phillies offense is just so otherworldly that it just is hard to beat them.
Great offenses, what do? I mean, they take advantage of the mistakes from the other team. And Dylan Cease, those walks with the bases loaded. Alec Bohm, I believe, worked a deep count. And Cease ends up throwing a fastball over the middle of the plate. Early in the game, breaking ball over the middle of the plate, gone. Little things like that. And all of a sudden you look up and you're down 5-0 or whatever. And that's where it's like, all right, now you're playing from behind from the get-go. It's the third, the fourth inning. And it feels like, man, another hole we have to dig out of. They're not going to come back down 8-0 like they did against the Cubs. That's not going to happen every night. As much as we would like it to, at some point here, the Padres, they've got to be the ones that take control of these games instead of, because it feels like as of late, they're letting their opponents take control of it, and then they're trying to fight back. And sometimes they fight back, and they're able to win and take control at the end. But some other times, you know, they're trying to climb up that rope, and they're not able to get to the top because they were so low on that rope, if that makes sense, at the beginning of games, because they get
down so early. And it's not just one or two runs sometimes. It's five runs.
Yeah, the pitching just has to – it's like, you know, when you have a big inning on offense, the pitching has to go out there and shut them down. And when you don't shut them down and you allow them to get back into the game, because this happened to my team that I played for the other day, they came back and they won. You can't allow them to crawl their way back into the game, because then things like this series happens when they just keep going and going. They blow us out eventually.
Yeah, for sure. All right, David, thanks so much for the time, dude.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. Continuing to go through the chat here. Yeah, I appreciate David for coming on there. SD Fan 44, how many games is this team going to win realistically? I think at the beginning of the year, I said 80 to 84. I'll keep that for now. I know they're three games under, but I'll keep that for now. And that could be good enough to get into the postseason. You know, there's still a long ways to go in this year. Is there a level of concern? Yeah, of course. But I'm not in, you know, full panic mode either. Because there's still some bright spots. Pyro Production, Xander is a waste of money. You're not the first one to say that. Yep, I agree, Devin. Padres got outslugged this series. John says, good to see Manny back in midseason form. Meaningless two-out singles popping up to infielders. You know, Manny. Is that Manny midseason form? I guess you missed the 2022 season that he had. I know last year was disappointing. I'm not going to sit here and be in panic mode over Manny Machado either on April 28th. Mike says, opposing pitchers have no fear of anyone in this lineup. There is no one in this lineup they would pitch around. I mean, I don't think they want to give Tatis good pitches to hit. I don't think they want to give Jerks and Profar good pitches to hit. But I get your point, Mike, right? Yeah, they're not pitching around Profar. They're not pitching around Merrill, even though Merrill's playing well. He doesn't have, like, that power potential. You know, he's not Aaron Judge, so I understand what you're saying, for sure. And yeah, there's an area of concern there, for sure. Devin says, I know things aren't looking spectacular or great, but I don't want to panic. It's only April. We haven't hit May yet. Things got to go the Padres' way sooner than later eventually. But I also don't want to get into the trouble that we got into last year saying that, oh, it's early, it's only April. All these games count. I'm just still giving you the fact that there's still a lot of time to go in the season. But getting swept in any series, especially, it's not like they were playing an AL team or they were playing a team that isn't going to be fighting for a postseason spot. We think the Padres and the Phillies are going to be fighting for postseason spots at the end of the season, right? Could come down to those two teams for a certain spot. And so, especially when you get swept by a team like the Phillies, I think that hurts more. If you think about it. SDFan44 asks, what needs to happen to change the course of this team? I mean, come on, you're playing for the memory of Peter. If that's not motivation, I don't know what is to these guys. Yeah, I mean, even without the whole death of Peter Seidler, of course there's motivation there. But there should be motivation anyway because of how embarrassing it was last year with all that talent and to miss the postseason. Yeah. Pretty embarrassing. So there should be motivation enough. And I'm not saying that they're not motivated. I think they are. What needs to happen is Joe Musgrove, guys like him, need to pitch better. They need to perform better. The offense, I think it needs to be more consistent. I mean, that's my answer to it. It sounds like no duh, Ben, of course. But yeah, that's my answer to it. Kirsten says, hopefully in June, the rematch against the Phillies, we can get them at their stadium. Yep, of course. It'll be great to sweep them in Philly. Cancel that out. Let's see here. Yes. NS says, didn't Musgrove give up 3 home runs in 1 inning? I believe it was in 1 inning. Yeah. He gave up back to back. I know that. Tahir asks, is there any relief pitcher that can step up to starting pitcher? Morahone is not built up. Johnny Brito, I guess. But how many innings are you expecting out of Johnny Brito? You know, Steven Kolek, I believe he has started in the past, but how many innings would you expect out of him? And who are you taking? Like, what's your point there? Are you taking, who are you taking out of the rotation? You know? Jeremiah Estrada is up, but he's more of a reliever anyway, right? But who are you, you're not taking Michael King, Joe Musgrove. Darvish is about to come. It seemed like Mike Schill, it seemed like the update was good there. Seems like things are heading in the right direction there with Darvish. Who are you taking out? You know. But really, like, to answer that question, no. In terms of guys that can hop in and go give the Padres 5 1/3. It would have to take some time for guys, I think, to get built up to that level. But for now, it would be like Brito, Morahone, piggyback, something like that. I don't know what the starting pitching ERA this series was, but it was a lot of earned runs allowed. It was a lot of home runs given up. Hopefully this is their worst series as a starting staff this season. I find it pretty hard to get worse than this. Getting swept, Cease not good, Musgrove. I mean, I'm not saying Cease is terrible, but not the Dylan Cease that we want. Musgrove wasn't good. And then today, Michael King. How many earned runs do you allow? 6? Yeah, 6 earned runs. His ERA is now at 5. So I don't know exactly what the ERA was, but it was not good. Not good at all. Devin says, I'm surprised Preller is still a GM, period. I'm not because, and I've discussed this, when Seidler passed away, right, Seidler, it seemed like his wish was, let's keep this together. Now, Melvin didn't stay, but Preller, you know, keep Preller, and they were not going to change the president of baseball operations this past offseason. With everything that was going on, you don't do that. You don't. And the Padres, they're giving AJ this shot to see, okay, what's Merrill going to do? What's Pauly going to do? These guys that he drafted, helped develop, right, his guys that he hired in the front office, the minors. These guys come up. What are they going to do? Mike Schilt, guy that was in the organization, he's the manager. Let's see what happens this year. If things don't change, okay, then, you know, you make the call. But Eric Kutsenda is not going to come. He wasn't going to come in as the interim guy at the time and immediately make a move with AJ. That wasn't going to happen. So I'm not surprised that Preller is still the GM. JD's third says, I need Ben to interview Bob Melvin next. Yeah. Don't know if that's going to happen. But hey, he helped deliver us an NLCS appearance in 22. I'm still appreciative of that. Continuing to go through the chat here. Under team control for 2 years, if he is not a long-term option, I think you're talking about Michael King, Ugly Dacklin. If he is not a long-term option, then trade him at the deadline next year or this year when they're 20 games under. Okay, they're not going to be 20 games under. I think you're exaggerating there. I don't think they're trading Michael King regardless of where they are. I think they could try to actually extend Michael King, to be honest. Because he doesn't have a ton of innings because it's not like he was starting for the Yankees all of those years. Let's see. Anything else to bring up in the chat? How about a real DH? What a concept, huh? Well, I think with that is JD Martinez, for example. He's not a lefty. The Padres wanted lefties. He cost too much for the Padres. They weren't going to give him 12 mil or whatever he got from the Mets. Brandon Belt, I think he's still out there, right? I don't remember seeing him signing with another team, so I guess he's still out there. But I think with the Padres, Manny starting the year as the DH, didn't know how that was going to go. It could end up not going, like there could be a setback there. And you want to leave that spot open, right? I think most managers, they don't want a permanent DH, unless it's like Shohei Ohtani or JD Martinez. But I don't think they want a permanent DH. I think they want to keep that spot flexible so that guys can have half days off and help preserve their legs because it's a long season. And it allows you to be a little bit more creative than this guy's the DH every day. Or, you know, front offices, do they want to pay someone just to hit? That's another thing as well. Let's see here. Is CJ Krohn still out there? I see that in the chat. I think he's still out there. Dave says 83.5 was the preseason win projection, not hitting 80. I mean, I think some of you guys are giving up on this team too early, saying that they're not going to hit 80 wins. They can't go 80 and 82. I'm not getting on that train. It's April 28th. Chad says the pitching staff and their trend of giving up piles of runs on 0-2 counts with two outs is alarming. I haven't noticed that, to be honest, Chad, but if that's the case, yeah, I mean, that's, you got to find a way to put away guys. I did see something, I think it was from Kevin, about Musgrove with two strikes, and he's in a lot of two-strike counts, so that's good, like he's getting two strikes, but he's not finishing those guys, which goes to maybe down in velocity or lack of command. Like, he's not putting those guys away, where he was doing a better job of that last season, definitely when he first came to the Padres. Ben, who won both Soto trades? Well, the Nationals probably won the Soto Nationals trade. Because the Padres, they acquired Soto to go win the World Series, and or at least get there. They didn't do that. I know 22, there were some great moments, but bottom line, they didn't get to the World Series. But the Yankees-Soto deal, that's to be determined. We got to see, is Soto going to be with the Yankees long-term? If he is, he probably, I mean, the Yankees probably were helped by acquiring him so that he could play for the Yankees and see what that was like. But what if he ends up walking, doesn't sign with the Yankees long term, they don't win this year? Like, they acquired Soto to go win the World Series. If they don't get there, if they don't win, then the Padres win that trade. If Soto's not there long term, you would think, right? So I don't have an answer for both. I'm saying the Nationals for the Padre National one, but for the Padre Yankee one, that's to be determined. Yeah, Chad, the Phillies bullpen didn't work too much, huh? And that's a bad thing for the Padres, obviously. They did not get into that bullpen. They got pretty much a three-day vacation in San Diego. Must have been nice for them, huh? De Los Santos, starting pitcher? Heck no. I hope Musgrove doesn't need shoulder surgery, Johnny. Eric asks, what is your evaluation of this season now?
is the Padres a good, average, or bad team? I mean, right now they're not a good team, but I don't think they're a bad team. So, average, if you're giving me one of those three options to pick, I'd say average. They're three games under 500, so they're below average, you would think, right? If you're saying average is 500. So I'd really say between average and bad right now. But there's definitely been some bright spots, but there's been some bad. So, like, you get what I'm saying? They're not a good team right now, but they're not a bad team. They're not the Marlins. They're not the White Sox. They're in the middle there. So, you know, the good, right? Jackson Merrill, Jerks and Profar, Dylan Cease, the bullpen for the most part, right? But then you look at bad, there's Musgrove, Xander start. There's been some concerning starts, right? So, I mean, doing the simple things right, I think that we thought that they were going to get off to a better start with that as well. So, I'd say average to bad right now, to be honest. All right, next series coming up. Phillies are out of town. The Reds coming in. The Reds, they're a little bit above 500. Ellie De La Cruz, obviously. Nick Martinez, he is scheduled to start in this series against the Padres, so that's going to be an interesting one. I think that's on Tuesday night. But yeah, three-game series coming up, and then they finally get an off day on Thursday before heading to Phoenix to face off against the D-backs. Not like their schedule's getting super easy here, so they're going to have to start playing better baseball. All right, check out some of the great partners of the show. Breaking Tee, Padres, Aztecs, Wave, shirts, and sweatshirts. Click the link in the description there. Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use code TALKINGFRIARS and SeatGeek, same code, TALKINGFRIARS. I see Chad says predictions for the Red Series. I don't do predictions. Like, I've stopped doing that. There's no point in doing a prediction. If you're right, no one cares. If you're wrong, then people will get on you for it. But they should win this series, right? Now, the way they're playing, I guess they shouldn't. But if we're trying to hold them to the high standard, they should win this series. When they're playing at home, the Reds are not as good as the Phillies are. They have Waldron, and then don't know as of now, right, for Tuesday. And then it would be Cease? No, Musgrove, right? I think it would be Musgrove, the series finale. As a Padres fan, I think you should go into this series saying that they should win it, and you're disappointed if they don't win the series. But to get back to that question that I just answered, like, right now they're average to bad. So I mean, the Reds, based on record, they're a little bit better than the Padres right now. All right. Thanks, everyone, for the time. I appreciate it. Have a good one.